on this beautiful sunny day in Chicago. And here you are in a windowless courtroom, getting ready to be tortured. Come on up. Our first case of the day is 1133-17, Speck versus Google, and it's Mr. Murphy.
Good morning, Your Honors. Martin Murphy on behalf of Android Data Corporation, the Androids Dungeon Incorporated, and Eric Speck. May it please the Court. The main issue the Court is being asked to decide today, de novo, is whether the plaintiffs abandoned their Android Data trademark through non-commercial uses between December 26, 2002 and December 2007. The holding of the District Court that plaintiffs' use did not constitute commercial use is contrary to the precedent of this Court, the Fourth Circuit, and the U.S. Supreme Court. Recently, in a decision that was just handed down or published by this Court on March 9, 2012, which is United States versus Raup, case number is 11-2215. The Court said that decisions such as ours, B. Robbins, and Homemakers tell us that when an agency interprets one of its own regulations, the agency's understanding prevails unless it contradicts the text of the regulation.
You know, Mr. Murphy, Google seems to have a point when it says that you're not distinguishing between the common meaning of the word use and the meaning under the Lanham Act. What's the matter, do you think, that Mr. Speck was getting emails to AndroidData.com or had websites under similar names?
Well, first of all, he was operating a business. The original business was Eric Speck. Then it became Android Data Corporation. Then it became the Androids Dungeon Incorporated. Eric Speck was the common owner of all of the, both corporations, and it initially started out the business as a sole proprietor.
But what's your most compelling example of use of the mark as that word is defined under the Lanham Act?
I would say our most compelling use of the word as it's defined under the Lanham Act is the website evidence. And that is prima facie evidence of use in commerce by the PTO's acceptance of his Section 8 specimens. When you file a Section 8 affidavit of continued use, you're required to attach a specimen showing the mark being used in commerce.
Well, could a person order or license software through the Android Data website?
You could order a brochure. I mean, this is custom software.
I asked you if you could order or license software through it.
You would have to contact. You can't just say, I would like to license the software and check a box.
That's sort of a yes or no.
No, you can't check a box and license the software.
And your mark wasn't for the operation of a website, was it?
No, the mark was in connection with e-commerce software, the mark was in connection with custom software solutions, and the mark was in connection with software being provided as a service, such as email hosting, website hosting for other businesses. That continued on through 2005 until April 2005, the district court found. The court said that that doesn't constitute use in commerce, but it was being used in those things, in that context.
What was Mr. Speck's purpose in filing back dated annual reports?
They weren't backdated annual reports.
2004-08 for Android Data.
They weren't backdated reports, Your Honor. They're all dated April 23rd, 2009. This is a common thread throughout Google's filings. They constantly accuse us of filing backdated documents. They're dated April 23rd, 2009. They're not dated some previous date.
But they're filing them, and they're for back dates.
No, they're reinstating the corporation, which we're permitted to do. The purpose for reinstating the corporation, Your Honor, was exactly what Google did.
Did this successfully reinstate the corporation?
It reinstated the corporation, but that's really of no consequence. It only comes into Android Dungeon is the user, not Android Data Corporation. We're not alleging that Android Data Corporation is the user. We're saying Android Dungeon is the user. Right? The Android Dungeon Incorporated. Resurrecting the corporation, Your Honor, Fred Mill, is the purpose of reinstating the corporation was Google is alleged. First, Google sought in the First Amendment complaint to have Eric Specht and Android Data dismissed, saying the mark was assigned to the Android's Dungeon, therefore they're the only ones who can bring a trademark claim under the Lanham Act, under 1114 of the Lanham Act. So then, when they successfully got the district court to dismiss Android Data and Eric Specht, they then turned around and said, but the assignment isn't valid. So now you don't have anybody that actually owns the mark. Reinstating Android Data Corporation was not to give the impression that Android Data Corporation was now doing business.
See, what I simply cannot get, and I've tried to, Mr. Murphy, truly, but I can't get it. I just can't get this. Even if he did transfer the mark to Android Dragon Inc., it certainly doesn't appear that ADI was using the mark in commerce, as that is defined by the Lanham Act. I mean, a consumer couldn't purchase software or services, and it shouldn't matter how many hits a website gets if it still isn't using the mark in the course of commerce. Lots of websites get enormous amounts of hits without being involved in any commerce. So,
Your Honor, the district court used two cases. They cited the Dell case and they cited, I think, the Genicorp case. They said this is the standard. But in both of those cases involved the PTO denying a registration, saying the evidence wasn't evidence of use in commerce. In this case, the PTO accepted the specimens as use in commerce. In this case, the PTO, an authority on use in commerce, has said that website evidence, those two pages, the home page and the content, those two pages are sufficient evidence of use in commerce. So the PTO accepted the Section 8 declaration from the plaintiffs. In the other two cases cited by the court, where the court says you need all these documents, that's the court interpreting a statute that the PTO is the authority on. And the court is substituting its judgment for that of the PTO, an authority, in which this court has said recently in Ralph that you can't do. You can't substitute, the court can't substitute its judgment unless the interpretation is contrary to the statute, which the interpretation of the PTO wasn't contrary to the statute. This case, the PTO accepted the declaration and said, yes, those two web pages constitute a use in commerce, so therefore you've met the threshold, just as if it was a new registration that required the same exact specimens, whether you're seeking to register for the first time or if you're seeking to file a Section 8 declaration of continued use.
This case doesn't really involve an interpretive matter insofar as the Act is concerned, but a question of sufficiency of the evidence to show use in commerce under a definition that everybody understands what it means.
Sure. There's a number of uses. The website isn't the only use. There are a lot of other uses. Over 200,000 emails being sent and received on AndroidData.com.
Yeah, but the company meaningless. Yeah. Right. Utterly meaningless.
The company wasn't engaged in any commerce after 2002.
It was. It was there are invoices, stacks of invoices. Android Data was not. Android Dungeon was. And that's the confusion. The court is looking at Android Data and saying, Android Data, you're out of business in 2002. We acknowledge that. We agree with that, Your Honor. That's not the issue. The issue is whether the Android Dungeon was in business, because that is who the mark was assigned to. It was assigned to the Android Dungeon. The Android's Dungeon.
But Android Dungeon's business doesn't necessarily implicate use of the mark in commerce.
It's hosting a web.
That's where your big problem is.
Well, it's hosting a website. It's hosting email. In order to access your email, if you have a Gmail account, for example, and you want to access your Gmail account, you might type in mail.gmail.com if you're going onto the web to find your email. Now, you can set it up in Internet Explorer or something if you have some program, but if you're going to go from any remote location and access your email, you would need to use the domain. In this case, if you wanted to access your email between 2003 and 2005 and you were at Picket Fence or any other companies, you would need to access it through mail.androiddata.com. And the courts have said that's a use in commerce because you're using it commercially in association with a service that you're providing. What is the service he's providing? Email hosting, website hosting. He's providing the software as a service. So you're not using your email software, you're using his email software. You're not using your computer as a server, you're using his computer as a server. So this isn't, there is a service being provided, and that service is being built. Now, there isn't just Picket Fence. There's Picket Fence, there's Wendy Murphy, there's Village Realty, there's SAS TV. There's a number of other businesses that are also using the email services and the website hosting of the Android Dungeon Incorporated. In addition to that, we've got Spec traveling across state lines going to Canada on behalf of the Android Dungeon Incorporated in connection with the sale or potential sale of certain assets of Android Data. That's a use in commerce. And the court said, well, it wasn't considering that a use in commerce because the court again looked to Android Data Corporation and said, well, Android Data's out of business. No, it was the Android's Dungeon that was negotiating that. And you can see that from the contract, the Quadrant Networks contract, for example.
Was Android Dungeons using the Android Data mark in its invoices?
Not in its invoices, but it was using on the website, it was using the email address, it was using on the DNS, Android
Data. What
was
it marketing under the Android Data mark?
The Android Data Software Suite, custom software solutions, email hosting.
That's what
those are the services that were being provided. That's what Android Data was invoicing for.
Android Dungeon was invoicing for the Android Data software?
Yes.
Who did Android Dungeon invoice for the software suite?
Not for the software suite. The software suite was back in 2002 and earlier, and that was with Design Toscano, Basil Street Gallery, Artistry, and those companies were licensing the actual suite. The suite was composed of three components, one component on their computer, one component for another separate business that they were going to have another administrator, and then one component that stayed on the host computer. That was the Android Data Suite, software suite.
And that software was not even in use after 2002, was it?
It came into use after 2007 because it's being used in Android Data inventory, automobile inventory software now.
It was revived after Mr. Speck became aware of the Google issue, right?
Well, he had been using the mark all along. It wasn't the software wasn't revived. I mean, he's providing software.
How was he using the mark?
What product or service was he using the mark on?
Well, he was using it in connection with. He wasn't providing a can of pop where you could look at it and say, there's the mark. He's providing an online service. So in connection with the online service, the mark is being used. It's being used every time you access your email, DNS server, or the DNS, AndroidData.com.
Not unless it's being used with a specific product or service.
What is?
If it's just the name of the website, that doesn't make any difference for purposes of the Act.
No, but if you're using the domain name in connection with providing a service, for example, there were cases like the Nissan.com where they said if you're using Nissan.com, if you're using that as a trademark, then that constitutes trademark use. So the fact that his trademark's Android Data and he uses AndroidData.com, he's still using the mark as a trademark, and he's using it in connection with the provision of services. He's providing email hosting, website hosting. He's got the serving. He's got the traveling in 2003, 2004 negotiations. He's using the mark clearly, and it's the Android's Dungeon. If you look at the contracts, you can see it's between the Android Dungeon and Quadrant Networks. So he's doing it on behalf of the Android Dungeon. He isn't representing himself as Android Data. Clearly, in one of the emails, he says, Android Data is no longer in business.
Let me take you in a little different direction.
Sure.
That affects our jurisdiction, and that is these counterclaims that were purportedly dismissed without prejudice. SPECT and ADI and Android's Dungeon were all named in these dismissed counterclaims, right?
Best of my knowledge, they were.
Okay. How would your clients enforce that? If Google goes off and refiles those, how are you going to enforce that?
Well, I think it's a discretionary matter as to whether or not the district court permits them to be refiled. They would have to go in. They would have to file a motion for leave to refile, just as the court had granted us permission.
But you didn't agree, did you agree with Google that they would be dismissed?
We did not object to Google's dismissal with prejudice of the counterclaims.
With prejudice? It is
without prejudice.
Without prejudice.
Right, and this is a Rule 54. This is a final judgment pursuant to Rule 54.
On the other counts?
Well, as to the entire, right, as to the other counts. Because the five counts were dismissed without prejudice. The court said, I'm done with those unless Google refiles them, which unless this case gets reversed.
That's the problem. Don't we have a line of cases that says this unless it's reversed really is not a final determination and that affects our jurisdiction?
Right. Originally, the appeal was filed, and the court dismissed the appeal saying we don't have jurisdiction, that this is not a final appealable order. And then the problem is you've got the finality trap, which is the plaintiffs are suddenly stuck where I can't force them. I don't want to force them, and I can't force them to refile their counterclaims. I don't have a final judgment, so I can't appeal, so I'm sort of stuck in limbo. So the only way out of limbo is for the district court to either compel them to dismiss them with prejudice, compel them to refile them, or give us a Rule 54 order, which he did.
Well, if tomorrow Google goes out and, before our decision comes out, refiles those claims, how could you enforce this dismissal without prejudice?
We can't. I mean, it could be resurrected, but the problem is those counterclaims are really redundant. We sought to dismiss them because they were redundant.
And the naming of SPECT and ADI and that, isn't that a concession by your opponent of their standing on the infringement claims?
That they don't have a standing?
That they do have standing.
On the infringement claims.
Right.
I'm not sure I'm following, I guess.
Okay, never mind.
Okay. In addition to the use of the mark, I mean, there were a number of other uses. I know the court, we've stated that there was the emails, there were the 78,000 hits to the site.
And we tell you that
those are
irrelevant.
All right.
So let's get into something that is relevant, please.
The business cards, passing out business cards in 2005 and 2006.
Business cards?
There were business
cards. Could I go out today and pass out those business cards? And it was
the use of, we believe it was using commerce, Your Honor. The district court, not so much, but we believe that it was. There was the use of the email server, the name server. In addition to that, the district court's holding, there's two steps for abandonment. One is you abandon, and the second is with an intent not to resume use. And the court seems to apply in its opinion that intent not to resume use can only be shown by use in the three-year period, which, of course, would make no sense under the statute, because if you intend to resume use, like in the Albertson case where they close the Lucky Brand stores, but they intend to resume use, if you form the intent to resume use within the three-year period, then that would refute any argument that you had intended. In this case, even if the use didn't constitute a use in commerce, technically under the statute, it was a use of the mark. He was using the mark. And that, I think, would be, you can't watch a TV and at the same time have the TV out by the curb. If you abandon the TV, you've taken it out, you've thrown it out. If you're keeping it in the house and you're watching it, you haven't done it. Now, they may say the TV sat there, but you didn't turn it on. That's not a use. In this case, we did turn the TV on. We did use the mark.
It makes the TV sad.
It doesn't make the TV sad. I'm just saying that if you left it up.
I have a very sad TV at home.
No, that's it. In addition to that, now, so we dispute whether there was ever an abandonment. We dispute whether there was an intent not to resume use. And then the third point is, before you can still get to summary judgment, you have to show that Google actually used the mark in commerce. And that's a big problem.
Did you make that argument below? About Google, that Google didn't use the mark in commerce?
Yes.
Before Judge Leiner Weber.
It was made. What happened was, originally, the summary judgment motion was on the issue of abandonment. And then the court said that, really, to get to abandonment, we need a number of steps to pass. We have to find that you basically abandoned with intent not to resume use, that you've abandoned intent not to resume use, that Google has actually used the mark in commerce. Because the court found that it was used, stopped, use resumed. So in order to fill this little window here between December 07 and December 02, the court had to find that Google used the mark in that window. Otherwise, plaintiffs are back in as a senior user, and Google isn't a senior user.
You are deep into your rebuttal.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right, can I reserve the remainder of time? Some questions. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Finn, come on up.
May it please the court, counsel. Just heard a lot about what Mr. Speck was doing. What we didn't hear is what you would expect him to do if he had an intent to use the mark in the period.
I have a sort of bottom line question. Well, I don't know if it's bottom.
Please, Your Honor.
But as you just heard, there's all this argument about how the district court should have focused on Dragon instead of Dada. Okay?
Yes, Your Honor.
When she says Dragon, I hear dungeon.
And you'll soon be in one if
I understand.
Make the jokes up.
I'll be quiet.
If Dragon / Dungeon is the assignee of the trademark, I've lost my thought. of the trademark. Why does your brief virtually ignore this entity?
Because, frankly, Your Honor, the entity hasn't established any use. As you've heard Mr. Murphy say repeatedly, there's the invoices, primarily the invoices, but there is no evidence of Android's Dungeon using Android data anywhere. They may have been providing services. They may have been taking in money, doing business. But there's nothing in the record evidencing the Android's Dungeon using the Android's data mark with any particular good or service.
What's the domain name of the website, right?
At one point in time, the domain name of the website was androiddata.com. We would submit that that's not a use in commerce. That's merely an address, a locator, a way to get to some place. That's not what's contemplated under the Lanham Act as a use in commerce.
Is the provision of email services within the mark that was awarded?
I'm sorry, Your
Honor. Is the provision of email services within the mark that was awarded?
No, Your Honor, that's, again, a location. That's a way to get someplace. And, Your Honor, I've got nothing in the record that evidences any of these users, to the extent that these email services were even provided in commerce, that any of these users ever saw those locations through their provision or their acceptance of the email services. There is nothing in the record showing that the Android's Dungeons, Inc., during whatever period of time, used Android data as a mark with respect to selling software or providing services. Mr. Murphy has admitted to the panel that they stopped selling the software in 2002 and didn't pick it up at least until sometime after Google started using the mark.
Can you make me feel any better about finality than I did when I was speaking to Mr. Murphy?
I will certainly try, Your Honor. As Mr. Murphy indicated, this is on appeal under Rule 54B. This court in the Marcellus Hydro Power versus Marcellus Land and Water indicated that Rule 54B is a proper avenue when the legal requirements and the remedies being sought are different on the claims that have been dismissed without prejudice.
But the matter of infringement seems awfully entangled with your counterclaims, and it seems to me it would be the same facts.
Well, counterclaims that remain, Your Honor, have to do with Google's claims of unfair competition and what activities plaintiff Mr. Speck and his companies undertook in
fraudulent registration, a declaration regarding invalidity. Those really seem to be quite interrelated to the claims in the complaint.
The mere fact that a
and you concede, I guess, by your earlier statement that they still remain, though dismissed without prejudice, they're still out there.
There is a possibility for them to be revived.
So doesn't that fall right into our line of cases that says we don't have a final judgment here?
Again, we believe that because of the factual distinctions, focusing on April and the past dates, there is one more way to get to finality, Your Honor.
There is. Would you do that?
Under JTC Petroleum line of cases, ask if this court is asking if we're willing to dismiss those counterclaims with prejudice, and this court doesn't believe it has jurisdiction. Otherwise, we would be willing to dismiss those counterclaims.
So if we do, then you would. But if you would just do it, I mean, what are they worth anyway? What are you going to get from this guy?
Your Honor, we are willing to dismiss them with prejudice, and I represent that for the record here today.
I feel much better. So on to your merits.
Very good, Your Honor.
But let's talk about standing. Having sued SPECT and ADI on your counterclaims, didn't you concede standing on the infringement?
No, Your Honor. The count that was dismissed for SPECT and ADC, Android's Dungeons Corporation, was relevant to the infringement claims against Google for the registration. They are not relevant to Google's claims for the activities of the corporation that was revived in April of 2009, as well as SPAC's individual activities after 2009 going forward. That's a different scenario. The first claims that we sought dismissal on was relevant to ownership of a registration, basically. And through the assignment, whether it's valid or not, but through the assignment, Mr. Speck and his corporation, ADI, took the position, we own it. Well, if they own it at that point, the former owners don't have standing.
All right. Okay.
Your Honors, I don't know if we need to discuss at all the issues of costs that were raised by plaintiffs at some point. I don't know if the panel has any questions on that, but we're prepared to address those as well. As well as, as well as anything else at this time. If the panel has no further questions, I think we've addressed the merits.
No.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. How much time does Mr. Murphy have?
2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honors. Right before I sat down, there was a question, was whether the issue of Google's use was raised below with the district court, and it was. It was raised in the motion for reconsideration after the court went outside of the record to find evidence of Google's use, because the court concluded that it was necessary to find that Google had actually used the mark in commerce before plaintiffs resumed use, that Google did not provide sufficient evidence to show use in commerce, and therefore went outside of the record to try to locate articles that would support the court's position that Google became the user.
I don't see why this is an issue. You pleaded Google's use in commerce as of November of 2007. So that's an admission.
Well, Google also admitted in its PTO filing, in Exhibit E to the complaint, Google admits the plaintiff's use in commerce in a sworn statement to the PTO, where it says plaintiff's last commercial use of the Android data mark was on its site in March of 2005. So Google has made a judicial admission also admitting plaintiff's use of the mark, which was attached to the complaint as Exhibit E. So there is evidence. You could argue that Google said we used it, and the court said forget about you guys. This is a question of law, not a question of fact. You can't admit questions of law. You can only admit questions of fact. I make the ultimate decision. And our point, of course, is that, yes, the courts may make a decision when it comes to that issue, but I think the PTO is the proper party to make the decision as to whether something constitutes a use in commerce or not. I think it's in a better position than a court because, as Judge Easterbrook has said many times, courts are generalists. That you have to know a lot because you get every kind of case under the sun in front of you. The PTO are specialists.
If anything is susceptible of a generalist's determination, it is that Google started using Android in November of 2007.
Well, here, Your Honor, here's something else perhaps. There was a filing last week on March 27th in the case Oracle versus Google. Related case, this is also over the Android. And in that case, in their joint statement of trial streamlining proposals, on page 2, this is case number 1003561 in the Northern District of California, Google states, the first version of Google's Android platform was publicly released on October 21st, 2008. So Google is admitting that their first use in commerce wasn't until October 21st, 2008. In addition to that, that announcement that they've attached to the that they attached to their summary judgment motion, the November 5th announcement, that doesn't say Google's Android. It talks about the Open Handset Alliance, which Google had dismissed, arguing that is not a business entity. So they were dismissed from the First Amendment complaint, as you'll see in the order. When we sued the Open Handset Alliance and the partnership, Google said it's not a partnership.
Are you saying that this case in the Northern District of California is on all fours with the facts in our case? Is that what you're saying?
There's related facts. That case, that's a copyright and patent infringement regarding the Android operating system, and our case is a trademark infringement. So there are similar facts in that we're both looking at the acquisition of Android Inc. We're both looking at the uses of Android. So the cases are very related. Google's a party. Obviously, they're defending their use of the copyright infringement and the patent infringement. In addition, the article that November 5th, that's just a web page.
You know, this is highly unusual, but so am I. I'm going to allow Mr. Finn to respond to that argument, and then I'll bring you back up.
Okay.
Okay,
yes.
So I'm going to give him 2 minutes to, because I just want to know about this. And I never will, and then I won't sleep tonight.
Thank you, Your Honor. I don't have the pleading that Mr. Murphy is referring to. I am aware of the case. The case is, frankly, a closely followed case. It regards primarily patent and copyright infringement of the Android software. Oracle claims Google is infringing their copyrights and their patents related to the how the software operates. To the extent that the pleading refers to an October 2008 date, that is the date that the first product containing an Android operating system was made public. That was the date, I would guess, I'm not involved in that other case, that damages could first attach, or there's some first public information relating to a product with the Android operating system. Google introduced the Android operating system on November 5th, 2007. They followed it up with a week later making public the software development kit, where developers could then have an early look at what Android was at the time and develop products for it. That's when the use began.
Thank you. Do you want to just take 2 minutes to respond?
The case I referred to, the Oracle versus Google, is noted at foot 5 of the blue brief. So that case was cited there, so Google certainly had notice about the case. I mean, besides being a party, it was also mentioned in our brief. In addition, the November 5th announcement there wasn't a product. It announced the coming of a product. In Zazu versus L'Oreal, this court said announcing some product coming at some later date is not a use.
Well, but here it's a little different, though. It's not just coming. It's out there so that these application designers can start preparing apps for it. Isn't that part of what they did?
Well, they've got a beta version of the software. They're creating the software. There is nothing publicly available. You can't do anything with the software.
Well, you know, the system's nothing without apps. I mean, that's what it's all about.
True. But the mark isn't being used in connection with just Google. It's being used in connection with 34 companies offering their own variation of products, whether it be a font, whether it be used in there are commercialization companies which are just using it for advertising. There are companies that are software developers or hardware developers. So Android doesn't refer to a particular product of a particular company. And it also, when Google filed its application, didn't file it as a collective mark. They filed it as their mark to identify their product. But they were naked licensing, so that naked licensing issues, the renunciation that were brought up in the rebuttal, in the motion for reconsideration, those again. So once you get to Google even using it, now you've got the issue. They've renounced it. They said it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to everybody because it's open. And Google has engaged in naked licensing by allowing other parties to use it without exercising control over it. These are at least questions of fact that would demand the case be remanded back to the district court, because there are a lot of questions. I mean, your honors have a lot of questions with regard to this case, clearly, and so do we. And I don't
we
think.
Always do.
Well, I mean, it's a motion
That's
for summary.
Good job.
Your Honor. But it's a motion for summary judgment, and because it's a motion for summary judgment, the district court shouldn't be tossing a coin and deciding close calls. When the court says this was a close call, it was not cut and dry, the court isn't saying the evidence is so overwhelming that there's no question in my mind. There are questions. We all have questions.
He was doing you a favor there by not awarding attorney's fees, describing it in a general way. That's not a determination that he was doubtful of his summary judgment ruling, is it?
No, but it's clearly in the summary judgment motion as well. The judge says, the judge, you can kind of see he's grasping to find that there's no that Google used it, and you know, I mean, it's evident that that the application of the law to the case is not consistent with this court's prior opinions or the Supreme Court's cases.
Thank you
very
much. Thank you, Mr. Penn. Thank you, Mr. Murphy. Case will be taken under advisement. Thank you.